Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have the University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor with us now, Rebecca Blank. She has decided to come on during this week. It's International Education Week, so it's a perfect week to have her here, I think. In many ways, we can talk about International Education Week. We can talk about budgets. We can talk about campus climate, a variety of things. Maybe you have maybe you've graduated from the UW-Madison. Maybe you have a student who's a son or daughter who's here right now. Maybe you're here. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Chancellor Rebecca Blank, welcome. It's great to have you with us today.
Good morning, Larry. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm certainly, just to carry over from our last guest, this is International Education Week, and there are many things at the University of Wisconsin-Madison that we can kind of be proud of when it comes to international education and the efforts we've done.
Yes, in fact, we were just named as one of the top 25 universities in the country for what we do with international study abroad programs. We are the largest percentage and number of students, I believe, in all of the public schools right now, public universities, with the number of students who we send overseas, which I think is a great part of education and a world that's increasingly globalized.
Yeah, it was one of the things that I like best about my own career here was coming back from a year at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad and starting a student exchange program and looking at the benefits that program has been. Several hundred students have gone through it from there, from Trinidad to here and back. And
there's not a better educational experience than going out and living in another culture for a while.
Yeah.
It teaches you a whole lot about yourself and about the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you on that. Well, let's take a look at budgets for a bit. We've had some tough budget times here, and talk a little bit about that and what that's done for the UW-Madison one way or another and where we are.
So we've been cut, we've been cut in 5 of the last 6 budget bienniums. So that means cuts in 10 of the last 12 years. And the university is showing that. We're down in terms of faculty. We've really been struggling to keep our advising staff at the level it needs. We've got several fields, particularly in the science and engineering and technology areas, where we have fast-growing student demand, but we can't hire more faculty. We simply don't have the money for it. Areas like engineering or nursing, where the state needs new workers, and we need to be expanding what we're doing on education, but we need budget to do it. So I very much hope that this budget year, the legislature, the governor, will understand the need to reinvest in higher education in the state. And we're going around the state with a message that it's time to reinvest in the University of Wisconsin.
We have callers online. By the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You know, if you take a look at the budget itself, besides the state, talk about where the rest of the money comes from.
Yeah, the state only gives us 15% of our total revenue. Our biggest funder is the federal government, where we get more than 30% of our revenue from the feds, most of it for big research projects. Our faculty compete for those dollars, and we're very successful at getting federal dollars for research. Another 16-17% comes from tuition. That's also, you know, that's been growing, but it's not a huge budget stream. And then we have about another 16-17%, which is private gifts or industry gifts, gifts and grants from various places. And then the rest of the money is what we consider auxiliaries. It's money in, money out for things like our dormitories, where, you know, we fund them, but we don't use that money for any other part of the university.
We have Willem in Colfax on with a question. Willem, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. I guess I'm concerned with the direction that our current leaders are wanting to take the university and education in general, to say that it should be focused on preparing people for the jobs. But I remember hearing the same people say that, you know, we just have to accept that, you know, a job for life is kind of a thing of the past, and we're going to have to have, you know, many, many different occupations in our lifetime, which means that we have to be retrained. But the thing that is most valuable about a university education is, in fact, an education, a knowledge of the world and how it works, about history and what has been done in the past, about different cultures than our own. These things are invaluable, and they help stimulate creativity, and we can address the future with not just a narrow training about welding or a specific engineering, but you know, a broader education, about broader understanding of the world. And that's the purpose of education, is to make educated people, and people who, you know, understand things like our democracy and how it works and things like that. So I think that's often lost in this sort of focus on job training.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Willem. Chancellor Blank, a comment.
Yes, you won't be surprised to know that I agree with that caller. I was recently out in Racine at the place that makes Evinrude boats and boat motors, and they hire engineers. They have four schools from which they target a lot of their hiring, one of them being the University of Wisconsin here in Madison. And one of the comments that their primary scientific officer made was, one reason why Wisconsin is on their list is that they need engineers who also have some liberal arts and humanities training. They need people who can communicate. They need people who can write. They need people who can think critically. And that narrow engineering programs often don't prepare students with those other set of skills. So I'm completely in agreement about the need to educate broadly for long-term careers, not just for jobs.
Thank you so much again for that question and comment, Willem. I appreciate it very much. I know someone asked me, what is the effect, or what has been the effect of the budget in terms of our faculty? And there's always concern about losing faculty to other places and so forth. Can you comment on that?
Yes. So our liberal arts college is probably down about 50 faculty as a result of the last round of budget cuts. I mean, my biggest concern over the last 2 years has been retention of faculty. This past year, we had a higher number of outside offers to our faculty than we've ever seen before in a single year. Now, we were reasonably successful at fighting that off. It cost us a lot of money, but you can't go through very many years like that. And of course, the faculty who get those offers, the faculty who leave, are your very best faculty. So, you know, it's very dangerous to be in a vulnerable position where other universities think that you're getting budget cuts and you're open to raiding. And that's where we've been most recently.
Yeah. What have we done to expand our education beyond the campus itself? That was another question that's come to mind. And I'm thinking of my own department, Life Sciences Communication. We're doing some things online, for as an example, but talk a bit about that.
Oh, it's a great question. And we have a long history of serving people throughout the state with education, starting more than 100 years ago with our College of Agriculture, when they started agriculture short courses aimed at farmers who didn't have the time to come in for a four-year degree but needed short-term training. So we've really expanded our outside-the-university non-traditional educational options. We expanded our online courses. But even more than that, a lot of our schools and colleges are being very creative in the number of certificates and licensing programs and professional education programs that they're doing that don't require people to come and live on campus. So 10 years ago, we probably were producing 200 people with various professional additional education. These days, it's more than 2,000 every year who come through those sorts of courses at the university, and we need to keep expanding that.
Chancellor Rebecca Blank from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, our guest. Questions or comments for her? Join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also post a question on email at talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. We've heard a lot in the news recently about campus climate, about inclusion, about there have been some assault issues on campus. What's the university doing to respond to those sorts of concerns?
Well, let me talk first about campus climate, which is a very real concern, not just on our campus, but on every campus around the country. You know, campuses like to think of themselves as inclusive spaces that welcome all people and are completely open. And, you know, we reflect the rest of the world around us. And oftentimes there are difficult things that happen on campus, and sexual slurs, racial slurs, things that we would like not to see in our community. So Over this past year in particular, we've done a lot of thinking about what we can do to build a better climate, a better community on our campus. Among the things we're looking at on the student side, we've implemented a pilot program on our new freshmen coming into class. A lot of our freshmen, when they get to our campus, of all backgrounds, this is the most diverse place they've ever been compared to the neighborhood they grew up in. And, you know, it takes a bit to learn how do you live with a much more diverse group of people. So we're running a program called Our Wisconsin, which is about who are you, where do you come from, and how do you compare to other people on this campus, and how do you talk with them, how do you live with them, how do you think about being in this more diverse, inclusive place. We're reviewing our curriculum around ethnic studies. We are working with our faculty on various training programs designed to make sure that our faculty are fully trained to deal with very diverse classrooms and people who come from a lot of different backgrounds. So, you know, I feel like we're taking this very, very seriously. Change happens slowly on our campus. And I should say, we have 66,000 people on campus when everyone's there during a typical day. I can't ever say that bad things will never happen in a community that large. What I can say is we're committed to standing up to the values that we profess and trying to make this as inclusive and as welcoming a campus as possible.
Yeah, if you think about that number, I mean, there are not that many cities in the whole state of Wisconsin.
It's bigger than the city of Janesville, right?
as an example, and I think we do have a very diverse, I just go back to international, we have, what the number is for the number of international students from other places.
We've got about 6,000 students on campus, a lot of them graduate students, but some undergraduates as well, who are from foreign countries.
And instructors and faculty members as well.
Yes.
So a large number of them. And Isaac in Whitewater, we're going to get to you in just a minute, but a reminder, talking today with our chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Rebecca Blank, taking a look at the whole broad range of things going on the campus. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we will be back with the chancellor. You stay with us. We'll be right back. Madison, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is the flagship of the University of Wisconsin system, and the captain of that ship is UW Chancellor Rebecca Blank. I'm Larry Mueller. She's with us today to talk about challenges the UW-Madison has faced recently, how it's dealing with those challenges, and we're certainly looking forward to hearing from you. You may be a graduate from here. You may have lessons you learned while you were here you want to share. You may have some questions for the chancellor. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I know we have Isaac from Whitewater, Tim from Heartland on board, and we'll get to them in just a minute. But I want to go back to that question that we were dealing with just before our news break. We talked. You talked a bit about campus climate. I know just Friday, I think it was, we had a sexual assault sort of incident on campus. What's the university's response to those kinds of issues as well?
So there's no one in leadership at any college campus that isn't worried daily about the sexual assault issue. It just happens too often on our campuses, in our communities, all over society. So at Wisconsin, we take this issue very seriously. We have a whole variety of counseling staff, of people who stand ready if someone has experienced some form of sexual assault to work with them, to provide them with therapy, to support them if they decide they want to go to the police and to report this more broadly. As you know, we had a young man accused of being a serial rapist, and I was just sick over the fact that none of these women came forward to report that until someone finally did, and then all the other reports occurred. One of the best things happening on campus in this area is the students are taking responsibility on it, because what I say is not going to affect what happens on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So a number of our student athletes have been involved now with talking about sexual assault. You see announcements from them prior to various sporting events. We've got a group of fraternities and sororities. In fact, all of our fraternities and sororities are working together to change their bylaws, to make sure that all of their leadership has training, and to be very aware of the problems of sexual assault on the parties and the events that they hold. And it is only, I think, when students stop being bystanders and start being active and saying, no, we will not let this happen on our campus, that we are really going to bring the numbers down. But we have to work with them. We have to provide the support structure, and we're doing everything we can on that front.
Isaac in Whitewater, thank you so much for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. So I am an international business major at Whitewater, and my question for you guys is, with the change in leadership, do you see more international studies, their programs expanding, more financial funding going in? And to follow up with that, is there any advice you could give to somebody like me who is looking to fund their study abroad program?
Yeah, it's a real problem because a lot of our students struggle a little bit with study abroad. You pay regular tuition, typically, but then obviously you have to pay some costs for getting to wherever you're going, and living expenses may be different than what they are on campus. So we do try to work with our students on that. We do have some scholarship funds. I'm working very hard to expand the financial aid that we have available to our study abroad program, because I don't want anyone to stay away from study abroad simply because they don't have the money to do it. This is too important as an educational experience. You're on a different campus, and I don't know what Whitewater's resources are. But, you know, I realize this is one where some students will have to work extra hard over the summer, put some money aside if it's something they want to do. That is one of the drawbacks of study abroad. You need some extra funding for it oftentimes. And as I say, we try to fill that gap at Madison, but can't always do everything that we wish we could.
Wish we could, yeah. Thank you, Isaac, for calling. Tim in Heartland, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks very much for having me on the air. I'm just very, very concerned that the people in the state of Wisconsin had better get their head out of the sand and begin this fight. That we are trying to, it appears to me, there's groups in the state that for some reason, which is beyond my comprehension, want to go after the jewel of the state. And the jewel of the state is the university system. I don't care if it's in Madison or Milwaukee or Green Bay or Stout or Whitewater or whatever. The school system is spectacular. It's one of the highest ranked in the whole country. And yet we're sitting back and seeing the destruction take place. It has taken decades and decades to build the UW system into what it is. And if you're a younger mom and dad out there today listening, get involved right now, because once this trend continues, the UW system will not be able to rebuild itself. And tremendous faculty, which is the essence of UW, are leaving because the money isn't there. And again, I wish I could understand why people want to go after the UW system. Is it because it's in the main campus is in Madison, the so-called liberal bastion of the state? It doesn't make any sense. Stop attacking the great system that develops educated people. And I couldn't agree more with an earlier caller who said that it's not just to get a job. It's to be able to be educated, to be able to think. I'm very proud of my undergraduate degree from UWM, and I have two master's degrees from Madison. So you guys are doing a tremendous job, and I hope that people wake up before it's too late.
Tim, thank you so much for your comments. Rebecca, Chancellor Blank, comment.
Yeah, thank you, Tim, for those comments. The Board of Regents has put forward a proposed budget to the governor and to the legislature that involves some reinvestment in all of the schools. And you're absolutely right that it's not just UW-Madison that's experiencing these budget cuts, but every part of the system is really running short right now and trying to make do with funds that are particularly problematic for retaining faculty and expanding some of the programs that need to be expanded. So we are urging everyone who cares about higher education in the state to contact their legislators, to contact the governor, and to ask them to support the Board of Regents' proposal for this upcoming budget. I should also note we've gotten really great support from the business community on this, and I think they're going to be central. They're the ones who hire our students, who use the innovation and the research that we do at Madison, and their support in this legislature is just key to us, I think, being successful at the budget proposals we put out there.
Thank you so much for calling, Tim. Appreciate it. Ellen in Appleton has a question. Let's go there. Ellen, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me, Larry, and it's delightful to be in on the conversation. This is an excellent program. I spent about 24 years in the Wisconsin Technical College system as an educator, and it wasn't until that point that I learned anything about the technical college system in Wisconsin, and I grew to be very impressed. But the reason I am calling is I went to UW in Milwaukee. I felt I had a wonderful education, and I support our UW system wholeheartedly. What I really noticed and am so proud of about the technical college system is we provide an option to students who, for whatever reason, cannot afford a four-year-plus degree or have the time to travel to a campus. And what we did as a college, we participated with the UW system to create a distance education network to share classes, and we worked on a partnership with UW so that students coming to a Wisconsin Technical College can transfer into the UW system. There's a pathway, and we can also share credits. That, I think, is one of the most wonderful things the state of Wisconsin has done for our students, because we have so many students. And they come, as you know, Chancellor, from such diverse backgrounds. And the means aren't always there for a wonderful liberal arts education. So in the technical colleges, yes, students sign up primarily for two-year degrees, so they know they are assured of a job when they graduate. But we also encourage every opportunity to participate in other things in the community where they're other knowledge bases will expand.
I'm sorry, we lost our caller. Thank you so much for that call. I appreciate it. Chancellor Blank?
Yes, no, she's absolutely right that there are many, many students for whom the technical colleges provide just what they need in education. And there's a number of students who go to those schools and maybe at age 18 they weren't ready to think about a four-year college degree, but by age 20 they've gotten turned on by some of the things they've learned in the technical schools. So we've worked very hard to build that bridge from the technical colleges into the four-year schools here in the state of Wisconsin. Our largest transfer group comes in from the Madison area technical colleges into the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and they're great students. Once they come to our campus, they graduate at the same rate as our students who came as freshmen.
And when you're talking about graduation rates, that reminded me of retention rates and time to graduate. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, we just got our numbers for this past year on some statistics that are absolutely key to how you should measure a university in terms of, is it being successful at getting its students all the way through to a degree? Because the degrees really do matter out there in the labor market. Our retention rate between the freshman and the sophomore year is now 96%, which is as high as you get at any school, public or private. And I'm particularly proud of the fact that our retention rate among our targeted minority population is identical to the retention rate among all our other students. So we've really closed that gap. If you go to the graduation rate, our six-year graduation rates are 86%. Now, there's some limits to those numbers. That doesn't count people who go elsewhere. If you count other people, our graduation rates are well over 90%. We still have a gap between our targeted minority groups, but that gap has been closing rapidly, and I hope over the next few years we're going to close that gap as well. Time to graduation at the University of Wisconsin at Madison is 4.07 years, and the best way to reduce student debt is to get people through college in 4 years. It costs a whole lot more to stay for a fifth year than it does to pay a little bit more in tuition on any given semester. So I'm just a very strong supporter of trying to push graduation rates on time.
And I think we've done, on the campus level, we've done quite a bit to encourage and help students get through that in terms of advising and so forth.
Yes, we've made a major set of efforts in advising, in making sure that those big introductory classes don't close out, in looking at which curriculum people take. So if, you know, people go on, they don't get good advice, or they get into a class that they shouldn't be in, it just wastes their time, right? They have to go back and take something else. So we're working much harder at trying to make sure students get directed in the right way as soon as possible.
Mandy in Waukesha has something for us. Hi, Mandy. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I feel I'm preaching to the choir. I'm also a UW grad and very proud of my education. I'm a physician assistant. My husband, who is from Turkey, also went to Madison as a PhD student. And in Turkey, Madison is well known as a great school to go to. I'd just like to point out or discuss my concern about, it seems like there's a huge trend for privatization of schools starting even at school-age children and in Wisconsin. And I'm wondering how that's being tackled or addressed. I feel this election really emboldened that movement.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling. Chancellor Blank, a comment on that.
Yeah, so our education school does deal with training students and training teachers all across the state. Obviously, there's a discussion about charter schools, about privatization of schools at the elementary and secondary level. That's a hot discussion. I think you probably want to bring the dean of the School of Education on to have that conversation.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling, Mandy. Appreciate it. Let's give Jan and Madison a chance to join us next. Jan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. I'd like to blend last program with this one. Your last one was on giving.
Yes.
And I think there's a bit of good news here, because those of us who are 70 and a half, and if we're lucky enough to have an IRA, can take our required minimum distribution and give it to a charity. And, of course, I'm saying any UW school would be really, really happy if you did that. And there are very good tax advantages. UW Eau Claire is celebrating their 100th birthday this year, so I sent them a gift directly and paid no taxes on a penny of that, because it's a charity. And the UW school, I'm sure, has a foundation. I'm sure you can Google whichever is your favorite school, and you can have a wonderful feeling about celebrating your favorite UW school.
Well, thank you so much. Chancellor Blank?
Yeah, thanks to Jan for making that comment. There's no university or college, public or private these days, that can survive without the generosity of their alumni. So we're in the midst of a major campaign. Our alumni at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have been very generous. It's very, very important to our budget, to maintaining the quality levels that we need to maintain, particularly in a world where state budgets have declined rapidly. So I appreciate your comment. And as I say, all of the schools have foundations. UW Foundation for UW-Madison, you can Google quickly, and like all the foundations, it will tell you exactly how you can be involved in giving.
Yeah. Thank you again, Jan, for that comment. Alan in Eau Claire up next. Alan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call, too. I want to go back to the caller who was talking about the importance of us needing to support the funding of education in Wisconsin, and in this case, especially at the collegiate level. I also am a UW grad and a teacher, sort of quasi-retired, and I can tell you that my education prepared me to compete on the national level at that kind of quality. But we are losing professors left and right because they are not being paid properly. And I just want to say that my salary as a public school teacher was way higher than my colleagues and friends who were professors at the college level in the UW system. And I wonder if the chancellor could talk maybe about what those salaries are, because I think if people understood that, they might have a better understanding of why we need to do a better job supporting the funding.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for those comments. The faculty compensation issue is probably the biggest concern that I and the other chancellors in the system will talk about as a result of some of the budget cuts we've been hit with. All of us have faculty salaries that are behind our peers. So if you compare the faculty salaries at UW-Madison to our peer schools at other big public flagship universities, we're somewhere between 12% to 15% below in salary. Now, you might be able to keep people for some period of time, but when folks come calling from outside and start offering jobs, those jobs are at market and well above where current salaries are. So we have to be able to bring our salaries up in order to compete and in order to retain our top talent. This more than anything else is necessary for the quality of the entire mm-hmm. system to stay as high as it is right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan, for that comment. Cynthia in Belleville has something for us. Cynthia, hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm hearing lots of love for the UW, and I certainly share it. I have a master's degree from UW-Madison myself. But I wanted to bring up the fact that the election results show us that there are a great deal of people in Wisconsin that feel a profound sense of alienation from Madison in particular, and I think some of these people would say that there's too much money that's going into Madison and they're not getting their fair share. And in fact, these are the electorate that put the state legislatures in place that decide the budget of the university. So I would like to ask Chancellor Blank what the university can do to reach out to these people in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working very hard to, particularly in this budget year, to reach out across the state. One example of something we're doing through our alumni association, it's called Project 72. There's 72 counties in the state, and we've identified some key individuals who are alumni of UW-Madison at every one of those counties. We're putting them on billboards. We're actually pushing out stories about what they've done in their life and how they've contributed to the civic life and the business life of those counties. And we've just gotten great publicity on this. Newspapers and radio shows have picked this up, and we've gotten far more publicity than we expected. In addition to that, we're actually, for the first time ever, have launched a media campaign. We're doing radio, TV, and social media in a number of targeted markets around the state with a theme of it's time to reinvest in the University of Wisconsin, reminding people of all the things that the university does in their communities and throughout the state. It's an incredibly important effort, and we need to be keeping at that. We need to keep reminding people of the value of the university to the entire state.
Thank you very much for that call, Cynthia. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The university is, we talked a little bit about this, but I want to go back to that. Non-traditional learners, we're reaching out more to non-traditional learners. And there are options for non-credit courses as well we could talk about. Just comment maybe briefly on that.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we've been working hard on is trying to go to the departments, the schools and colleges and say, think about what you can do outside of the traditional residential education that we've long been very good at, right? How do we reach out to other people, both in the state and outside the state? And the result of this has been a huge growth in these sorts of programs. Some of them are degree programs, such as a professional master's. We're running a joint program with EPIC on computer science and computer programming for people who, in their current job, need more skills around computer science. And this is a way for them to acquire them. And we're actually running that out at EPIC, but it's open to folks from all around
anywhere.
The area who want to come, right? In addition to those sorts of degree programs, we're running licensing programs. We're running short courses. Some of those have certificates. Some of those don't. There are a lot of people out there who, whether they went to college or not, at some point in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, want to come back and learn something new, or maybe have to come back and learn something new for the next job or for the next promotion. And we need to be about engaging in that type of education as well as our traditional education. So I think we've done a good job of expanding those offerings, and that's something we need to keep at.
Well, it's here we are out of time. It's been a great pleasure to have you with us. We've covered some things. I haven't covered everything, and I hope you'll agree to come back and be with us again.
Of course. Thank you, Larry.
Chancellor Rebecca Blank, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, our guest today. And we'll get back and we'll talk some more. There were quite a few things that we didn't cover today that we could certainly pay more attention to, and we'll have her back and we will do this all over again. Tomorrow at this time, one of our entomologists from the UW-Madison, P.J. Leash, will be with us to talk about some of his favorite cases from his diagnostic lab. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store.